stand together for the reading of the Word of God, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for the presence of God in our midst. We thank you because you have sent us here this morning to worship God, to give glory to his name, to proclaim his truth. I pray that you'd help us, anoint us by the Holy Ghost, and anoint this congregation. And Father, I pray that you'd make our time together profitable, and we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning is our mission service, and I want to preach a missions message to you this morning for just a few minutes on ministering to the missionary. Ministering to the missionary. The church at Philippi bears the distinction of being the most faithful supporter of the missionary work of the Apostle Paul. Of all the churches that the Apostle Paul founded, the church at Philippi was his most faithful supporter. When others neglected Paul, Philippi didn't. When others didn't send anything to help him, Philippi sent money, food, clothes, whatever he needed. Philippi was known as being a mission-minded church, a church that was concerned about the missionary, ministering to the missionary. Paul had founded this church. You remember Paul had gone to Philippi when he was traveling through Asia Minor, wanting to go up north, and the Spirit kept him going west. Finally got to Troas, and he had a vision. And in this vision, he saw a man calling him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And he crossed over into Macedonia, into Europe, to this city of Philippi. And there, the first European convert was a woman by the name of Lydia, a seller of purple. And the second European convert was another woman of low repute, a woman who was a sorcerer, and Paul cast the devil out of her. And when he did, Paul and Silas were locked up, put in jail at Philippi for that. And the third convert at Philippi was the jailer that put them in jail and locked them up, and his whole family. Praise God. You know, it was evident God was in this. And the Lord was doing a work at Philippi. And he did a wonderful work. And Paul went from there. He went to Thessalonica. And at Thessalonica, he met fierce opposition to the message. He stayed there only 3 weeks. But the Bible tells us in my text that while he was there, Philippi was sending supplies to the Apostle Paul while he was at Thessalonica. Later, Paul will write to the Thessalonians in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and he will say to them that I labored with my own hands while I was with you, trying to meet his needs, working with his own hands. No other church communicating with him, but Philippi did. This church was mindful of the needs of the missionary and was providing for the needs of that man who brought the gospel to them. The grace of giving was evident in this church. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he provokes them to giving by the example of the Christians at Philippi, at Macedonia. He says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1, moreover, brethren, we want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Get this. Here's a church that it's a time of affliction. But in the time of their affliction and deep poverty, they are still a joyful people. And the joy of the Lord is there. And in spite of the fact that they are hurting financially, as it were, the Bible tells us that their joy in the midst of their suffering abounded unto their liberality. They didn't have much to give, but they were willing to share what God had given to them. For to their power, look at this, to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, begging us to take their offering. Wasn't Paul begging for an offering? Listen to this. It wasn't Paul begging for an offering. It was them begging Paul to take an offering from us. Hallelujah. This, in spite of the fact that they were suffering poverty, but the joy of the Lord in their heart and the grace of giving in their life, and they are begging Paul to take an offering from them. Take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Inasmuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. In other words, Paul said, this grace of giving that I've seen in the church at Philippi, I want to see that grace of giving in the Corinthian church as well. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, and your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Listen, it gives an example of giving. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Hallelujah. He says, here's an example. Here's the ultimate example of giving. Jesus gave himself. Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is God's unspeakable gift. And God himself sets forth an example of giving, the grace of giving, and that he gives to us his Son. Three things I want you to notice about my text. First is the attitude of the missionary. The missionary is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said about himself, when he has just received an offering from the church at Philippi, he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He goes on to say, I've been in times of plenty. I know what it is to have plenty. I know what it is to hunger. But I've learned, whatsoever state I'm in, to be content. I'm instructed to be full, to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. And lest anybody think that this was all due to the willpower of the Apostle Paul, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That this was not just the willpower, this was the grace of God working in me, Jesus giving me the power, giving me the strength to be content in whatsoever state I am. That same grace was working in the Philippian church, that in a time of poverty, they still rejoicing in the Lord. I tell you what, brother, when you got this kind of grace in your life, if the stock market crashes tomorrow and you lose everything you've got, you don't jump out the window. You say with the Apostle Paul, or with Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you keep on rejoicing in the Lord. You keep on praising God because you know God is in charge of your life. And He don't ever do anything wrong. And so we just keep on rejoicing in Him. Contentment is a gift from God. It comes through the strength of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the missionary was not begging these people to send me money. He was not saying to them, hey, look, I'm hungry. Send me some food. He was not putting pressure on these people. You've got to send me an offering. He was saying to those who supported him, I'm content whether I'm full or hungry. God has given to me grace through Jesus Christ to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. Now what the Apostle Paul was saying is this, I'm trusting in Jesus for my needs, and I know He's going to meet my needs. And as one man said, God's work done God's way will never lack God's provision. And the Apostle Paul believed that God's work done God's way will never lack God's provision. And he was saying, in other words, I'm trusting in Jesus and I know Jesus will meet my needs. Hallelujah. I've learned to be content. Now, you know, that's not often the attitude you find in the church across America. When such pressure is put on people sometimes to give, you know, you tighten it on down. Sometimes the preacher will threaten you if you don't give. And you're gonna suffer if you don't turn loose of that pocketbook. And they're just tighten it on down, you know, to where you feel such tremendous pressure to give. One man taking up an offering down in Georgia years ago, and he talked like if they didn't give him what he wanted, there's going to be a tornado come through that town and tear it all to pieces. It's still standing. Years and years have gone by. Still standing. Hallelujah. Well, sometimes, you know, that's the way people act. Sometimes preachers do that, those kind of things. But that wasn't the Apostle Paul. That wasn't the way he did it. This was his attitude. I'm content. But he commended them for their generosity. He said to them in verse 14, notwithstanding, even though I'm content, whether full or hungry, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. And he commended them because when others had forgotten him, in verse 15, when others had forgotten him, no church communicated with me. He said, you communicated with me. In other words, you provided for my needs. You gave me what I needed. Even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. When opening up this passage of Scripture here in my first verse, he says, I rejoice in the Lord that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. It seems like that they'd neglected Paul for some time. But it wasn't because they wanted to neglect him. He said it was because you lacked opportunity. There was a hindrance to them providing for the Apostle Paul. But now then, the door has been opened for them again, and they are supplying the needs of the Apostle Paul. And he said, I have all and I'm abounding, I'm full because I've received the offering you sent to me from Epaphroditus. And he commended them for their generosity and their giving. And then he gives to them a promise. He says to them in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, who's he talking to? Just anybody? No, he's not just talking to anybody. He's talking to those people who have opened their hearts and their pocketbooks for the support of the work of God. And he says to them, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hey, I believe it, brother. I'm telling you, I believe it. Praise God. And I have seen people over the years suffer in their finances and over and over year after year after year, who would never give to God, never trust God, never believe his word, never open up their hearts to the work of God, and kept on suffering year after year after year because they would never believe God and trust him and take him at his word. But when you open up your heart, give yourself to God, give your heart to God, give your life to the work of God, give yourself to the upbuilding of the kingdom of God, it isn't hard to open up your pocketbook when you've opened up your heart to God. And God said, I'll meet your needs. Hallelujah. Oh, I've seen it happen time and time again, not just in my life, but in the lives of God's people down through the years, who trusted God, opened up their heart to God, opened up their pocketbook to the work of God, and God met their needs, and miracle after miracle happened in their life as God came through for them and met their needs. Many people will never know the miracle working power of God because they'll never trust him to do what he said. But the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Food, clothing, everything that you need. God says, I'll meet your need if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm telling you, it ought to be more important to us to see souls saved than to wear the latest fashions. It ought to be more important to us to see souls saved than to drive the latest models. It ought to be more important to us to see souls saved than to live in lavish luxury. It ought to be more important to us to see the name of Jesus exalted than to see ourselves blessed in life with so much. And you know, the Lord never fails to keep his promises to his people. You young people, if you will trust God, if you will learn early in life that you can trust God, that you can give to the cause of Jesus Christ. We taught our children from a very early age, you make a dollar, you give 10 cents in the offering. To give your tithes and give your offerings to the Lord. When you give your tithes, you've just started. That's just the starting point of giving to God. And we taught them from a young age to do that. And to trust God. I'm telling you, they could see it in our own lives, how God miraculously provided for us over and over again. God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This church, thank God for this church and the giving spirit that's in this church. And many of you, I know, give sacrificially to the work of God, and I thank you for that, and I know the Lord blesses you for that. But this church has supported missions for many years. Sister Gail Myers' work in Mexico, young girl afflicted with what was it she had? Polio, twisted body, couldn't hardly walk. And God healed her and straightened her limbs out. Sent her to Mexico, worked there for 50 years or more, established 150 churches in Mexico, right at 150 churches. As a young girl at Toccoa, Georgia camp meeting, wondering if God had really called her, running into obstacles and difficulties, wondering if God has really called me to do this work. And in a service there at Toccoa camp meeting, Brother Lorenzo Slaughter began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And the Holy Ghost interpreted it to her heart. And she said, Brother Lorenzo Slaughter said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. He quoted in speaking in other tongues, he quoted the Great Commission to her in Spanish, and she understood it. And God confirmed her call as a young woman. And that work continues to go on under a board. This woman, Sister Gail Myers, felt called to go to Panama. She did not know what she was going to do down there, but she went to some services, was in a service under a tent, and was introduced to a Kuna Indian in that service. And the Holy Ghost spoke to her and said, this is the reason you are in Panama. Sent her to the Kuna Indians, opened up churches among the Kuna Indians. Now a multitude of those Indians are serving God, living for God, and churches flourishing among them. Brother Don Rich, God laid on his heart to go to the Choco Indians in Panama. He spoke to somebody about going there. They said, there's no need for you to go to them. They're too primitive. They're too backward. Brother Rich felt it was God calling him to go there. I remember years ago, Brother Rich sitting down at my table and talking to me about the Choco Indians and tears flowing down his cheeks and his voice breaking under the burden for those souls. And he told about how God brought him into this village of people who didn't wear no clothes hardly, didn't know anything about God. Asked permission for the chief to preach. The chief gave him permission to preach under his house built on stilts. He preached, and God began to give him souls. Three times he preached that day. Every time God added souls. And the souls that got saved in the first service, in the second service, they were around the altar trying to help the other people get saved. And just learned about Jesus. And he said it was obvious to him that God was going to give him that village. And now then, there's about 20 churches among those Choco Indians, and they're serving God. Brother Sumners, God worked with Brother Sumners. He worked among the guerrillas in Nicaragua. Was it Nicaragua? Nicaraguan guerrillas, preaching to them during the communist period down there. And then God opened doors for them to preach in the Honduran military and in the Honduran police. And now then they have a tremendous position of preaching across that country on bases in the Honduran military and the Honduran police. It's a position of extreme importance and power, really. And the Lord has blessed them and given them many souls and a good church there in Honduras. Brother Morgan is pioneering in Mexican prisons, building churches behind bars. Get this, building churches behind bars, taking the gospel into places, into these prisons in Mexico, where it's not just the man, but his wife may be living there with him, and his children may be living there with him. And here they are behind bars, and God has raised up Brother Morgan to go into these prisons, take the gospel to them, build churches behind the bars. And so he's doing a great work. He's also authored Bible studies to take into these people. Brother Thompson, who is right now struggling with cancer, and Brother Thompson has been a church builder and a youth camp sponsor in Ukraine and in Russia, and multitudes of people have come to the Lord through the work of Brother Thompson. We're praying for his recovery. We need that man of God. Brother Akers and Brother Bearcroft and Brother Hamilton. We could just go on and naming Brother Sosa and naming others that have worked for God for years on the foreign fields. And I'm running out of time. I can't tell you about all of them. But I'm telling you, there's a work going on. And you are participating in that work. We are ministering to the missionaries. Hallelujah. And God said, if you'll open up your heart to the work of God, and you'll give to the work of God, my God shall supply all of your need according to what? His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. I believe it, don't you?